Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Untangling Toys podcast. I'm your host, Lego Master Model Builder Sam Suxiri, and today we are going to be talking about a toy, but more than a toy, we're going to be talking about how you as a parent can play with your kid. A big mission of this podcast is to explore toys and play and why play is important for kids and adults. But on today's episode, we're going to focus on how you as a parent or a caretaker can actually get in there and play with your kid. You're on the floor with your kid, you got their toys, and you're going, hey, we're gonna go over here. Okay, wait, well, don't forget that we need to get the reindeer over here. That kind of play. I think that's a little tricky for a lot of adults because, you know, we
grow out of toys, unfortunately.
We grow out of a sense of play. So then all of a sudden, you've got kids who are saying, play with me, or let's play again, let's make something up. You pick up a toy, and you're like, okay. And who's this guy? What are the rules for this guy? And what's this one do? I need instructions here. We're talking about playing with your kid on today's episode of the Untangling Toys podcast, a beginner's guide for parents and caretakers to get down in there and start playing with your kids. The sun's come out today. It's been a very rainy week, so it's nice to have some sunshine. One of my fondest memories of playing with my grandpa up at his house when we were playing on the floor, we were playing checkers, and he loved playing checkers. He actually, my grandpa made all sorts of things, but he made a ton of boards, checkers boards. Why don't I think about these things beforehand? Bow. Hi, I'm back. This is one of the checkers boards or chess boards that my grandpa made. Simple, lovely little bit of woodworking there with the trim. And then if you flip it over on the other side, you can play, I forgot what this game is. We weren't playing with this checkers board. No, we were playing with this checkers board. It's basically a little shawl, a little rug. You could play it on the carpet with these big plastic checkers pieces. We would play checkers all the time, and I loved playing with my grandpa because when he started to lose, he would start to bang his fists on the ground, not in an angry way, but in a very silly way, just like if he made a bad move or if I made a particularly brilliant move. I'm like four or five or so. We're lying on the carpet. He was a big guy, and he's also lying on his stomach because you gotta lie down on the ground to play with this checkers board. And I'm across from him lying on my stomach. And if I ever finally beat him, he would make this expression like, and it made me laugh so much. And then we'd play again and then again. And it was really thrilling for me as a tiny kid to be playing with my grandpa, with an adult. And one of the things that made it easy to play with my grandpa or play with my parents is when we played board games, when we played things where there were rules, so that way we were all in agreement on what the rules were and what you could and couldn't do. However, as a kid, I liked playing a lot of things other than board games. I liked getting my toys out and making up a world, making up scenarios, and that's where it kind of got tricky for adults to play with me because there weren't rules. I was a little kid making up the rules to whatever imaginary game I was playing, and adults, well, they would try to enthusiastically join in, but at some point it'd be like, well, now this train can fly. And sometimes adults are like, trains flying? I don't know about this. And I saw this all the time working as a Lego Master Model Builder. Sometimes we would do classes where there was a build that the parents could do with the kids, and there were instructions, and I would lead them through the instructions. But then when the kids got out there to do their own free play in the pits and the brick pits, the parents would kind of be off to the side or kind of watching but not really engaging as much as when there were instructions. For adults, not having a curriculum can be a little nerve-wracking. And even though you love the kids, the children in your life that you're caring for, how do you play with them when there aren't instructions? Before we get into the toy we'll review for today's show, I want to talk about a really important piece of media that I think just totally encaptures how adults who want to play with their kids but don't know how can really get into there. It's an episode of a show by one of my favorite authors, John Finnemore. He's a British comedy writer. A show that he's probably more well known for is Cabin Pressure, which is another BBC radio comedy show starring an actor who wasn't so well known at the time named Benedict Cumberbatch as a hapless pilot on a very tiny airline. They had one airplane.
Look, Carolyn, you cannot penalize me for taking a rational command decision based on reasonable air safety concerns.
Yes, I can.
Well, technically you can.
Good. Then technically I will. Now please, go and be somewhere else.
Actually, when I'm building Lego builds, oftentimes I'm also listening to something like an audiobook or a podcast or music. I've listened to his shows so many times. I've tried to copy his shows, not copy. I've tried to emulate his creativity and some of the comedy writing that I do. This particular episode is from a series he did called Double Acts, which is a two-person radio play. And it's about a 30-minute show where it's just two characters talking back and forth. This episode, I believe, was the first. It's called A Flock of Tigers. This radio play takes place in like the 1930s on a steam engine traveling through England to Oxford. There's a sort of stuffier older gentleman who wants to be left alone on the train car. And then this eccentric woman comes in, an American woman, of course. She joins him in the car and she engages him in conversation, which he's very reluctant to do. But it turns out that he is going to visit his son, his 7-year-old son at boarding school. This woman is sort of like, you're not going to play with him. You're not going to, you know, make up some games and talk. And the father's like, oh, no, I can never play. I am a grown man of business. I do not play.
And he's always pretending things.
Pretending things?
Yes. It's quite a passion with him. He's always proposing some pretense we should adopt. Let's make believe we're smugglers, say, or let's pretend those sheep are tigers.
But you don't.
Well, I wouldn't have the first idea where to begin. They're not tigers. Why say they are?
And this woman, who turns out to be sort of a psychologist researcher, she leads him through how you can make believe, how you can play make believe. If you can track down this episode, buy it, listen to it. For one thing, it's a fantastic listen. John Finnemore's shows are always really well produced audio experiences, but it just so perfectly encapsulates all of these steps of how adults are resistant to playing make believe and the little steps you can take to start playing make-believe. And really what it breaks down to are some of the fundamental rules of improvisational theater. In fact, I have a hunch that the woman in this sketch is based off of a woman named Viola Spulin, who was one of the early researchers and creators of theater games of improv, especially for children. I don't know that conclusively, but when I was listening to it, I was just like, what? And the reason why improv comes into this is because kids are always improvising what they play. It's very rare to see kids sort of sitting down with paper and pen saying like, all right, we're going to make a game. These will be the characters. You'll play that one. I'll play that one. And these are the rules. And this is how it'll go. Not saying they don't do that. We're really going to have to talk about Dungeons and Dragons later on in the show. But generally, kids just go out there, have some toys, and start playing, making it up on the spot. And for adults, they can really feel put out doing that because we're used to having rules. Our world is full of rules that we've spent our lifetime learning. But a lot of it just comes down to two factors. One is agreement. In improv, this is known as yes and. So if you're improvising a scene with your partner and they say, hey, what a great day it is at the beach. You don't say, no, we're at the zoo. You take their initiation and then you expand on it. Yes, it's a great day at the beach and I'm starting to get a sunburn. Yes, it's a great day at the beach and we should get some ice cream. Yes, it's a great day at the beach, but it's too bad we're shipwrecked on this island. So that's the agreement and then expansion upon. We're playing grocery store. Yes, we are at the grocery store and I would like to buy this pizza. Or we're at the grocery store and I would like to buy this cake. I think one of the reasons why simply agreeing and expanding can be difficult for adults is because we want to do a lot all at once. And oftentimes with play, it's not about here's a whole delivery of exposition and expectations. It's just one little bit at a time. Wow, it's getting nice and sunny out there. Sorry, for those of you just listening to the podcast, I am also videoing this for our video podcast and the sun is out and moving around. And so I have to keep moving this bounce board. Okay, what was I talking about? So when you're agreeing with a simple premise that your kid is put out there, you don't have to add on a lot. You can just do one little detail at a time. And that's actually the second point. Keep it simple, keep it small. We're at the beach, yes, and I have some bananas. Yes, we have some bananas, and let's make a smoothie. It's not like, okay, we're at the beach. Here are our supplies. This is what we need to do. What night is coming? We're going to need to build some shelter. That's all very responsible adult thinking. We're playing, but we're not playing survival. Go slow. Keep the details small. Throughout this episode of A Flock of Tigers, that's sort of how this woman leads this man through it, is we're just going to look out the window. What do you see? I don't see anything. You know, we're in a train. It's an empty field. It's like, well, can you imagine that there are sheep in this field? Yeah, sheep. I can imagine sheep in the field. And then, well, can you imagine one more little detail? One more little detail? One more little detail? And by the end of it, there's this whole story that they've created together out of nothing about a field of tigers, a flock of tigers, hence the name. Now, I've used a bunch of silly details for these, you know, improvised play, but you don't have to be silly. You can use normal details from your own interests and expertise. Whatever you do for a job or whatever your hobby is, you can use those details in play with your kids. There's a really great early SNL episode where Dan Aykroyd plays a mechanic, and he comes home and he's putting his daughter to bed, and she's like, I want a bedtime story. And he's like, oh, I've just been working at the garage all day. Please, can I have a bedtime story? And so he tells her a bedtime story. There's sort of all these mixed up fairy tales, but all of the fairy tale characters are coming in with car problems.
And did the princess find the frog?
No, but I did, right in the starter drive, right between the Bendix spring and the armature. So I pulled out the armature, replaced all the brushes.
There's quite a twist at the end of that sketch, which I think is really accurate, because kids like to be enthusiastic or hear about things that their parents are enthusiastic about. My dad is really into airplanes, old airplanes, and I loved whenever we went to museums or looked through library books on airplanes, and he could point out all these details and tell me more about them. And this was more information than was in the book or that they knew at the museum. Well, the idea of making things up while you're playing with your kid is it can be anything. Don't worry if there's a wrong answer. It's also like it doesn't have to be random. In improv, there's this concept of playing at the top of your intelligence. So if you know a lot about something, if you know a lot about fishing, if you know a lot about horseback riding, bring those details, bring your passion and your interest into playing with your kids. Your first time doing this could feel a little clunky, but making things up and playing is a muscle. The more you do it, the more that muscle starts to open up connections in your brain, and the easier it'll become. And eventually you'll reach a point where playing with your kid is actually fun for you as well, because you're playing too. Surprise! And the more you do this, the more connections you'll make with your kid. And so when you are playing together, you'll have these references of things, of games you've made up together, of characters you made up together that you can then expand on in other games. When you as the parent or caretaker are having fun playing, that is going to get your child more excited about playing, about exploring their creativity and imagination. And also you're going to be bonding with your kid in a way that'll make memories that'll probably last a lifetime for the both of you. So after the break, we're going to talk to a special guest, a parent who is phenomenal at playing with his kids, somebody who is personally passionate about playing with them and enjoys it and does such a fantastic job. And the kids enjoy playing with him so much. And then of course, we're going to be reviewing today's toy that is a great sort of guide for making up play. I know we're talking about making up play and how can you have a guide for making up play, but that's why we're going to untangle it. And then, of course, we've done a few episodes of this show, but it is a new podcast. And one way that you can help us get started and grow is by liking and rating the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow Untangling Toys at all of our social medias at Untangling Toys. And I would love to hear from you if you have questions about toys and play, or if you have suggestions for future episode topics. You can leave a comment if you're watching this on YouTube, but I think the most direct way is to email us at untanglingtoys@gmail.com. All right, we'll be right back with our special guest. Ooh, I gotta say that like I was on a talk show. After these messages, we'll be right back with our guest. Oh, he just went through the wash?
Yeah.
Wow. Hi, and welcome back. And here we are with a very fantastic parent who loves playing with his kids, and his kids love playing with him. This is my brother-in-law, Xander Pollock.
Hey, everybody.
You, as a new parent, how did you get into playing with your kid?
I've always thought if I'm having fun, they're having fun. And if I'm not having fun, then they're not going to have fun either. So play for me is about finding what delights me.
Yeah. Is it done? No, we just started, but we will play soon.
I like to play with toys that are flexible, that don't always have one intended purpose. Mm-hmm. So Duplos are great. Anything where we're building like a city and the city can take different forms is really fun, because you can imagine different scenarios or use them in different ways. And then you don't have to have like a lot of toys everywhere all the time.
So for parents who are nervous about playing with their kids, you know, your kid comes up to you and says, let's play. I think that can be intimidating with something like, let's play. And then the following is like, well, what
do you
like
want to play?
How do we play?
What do you want to play with? You start somewhere, start anywhere, and then the play will evolve. And that's part of play. It's kind of like a really good date where maybe you just pick out the meeting time and maybe a spot, but you don't know exactly what you're going to do. And kids are really natural improvisers where I'll start stacking Duplos on top, and then Casper will say, oh, it looks like a satellite looks like a tower. And then you say, oh, let's add something else to this tower. And you see where it goes. It is really hard to get started. You don't need a plan. You can change as you go. And that's part of the play.
Some kids are very proactive. Other kids might be a little more like, they're not extroverted as much.
That's true.
Is there a level of like, you need to step on the gas to get the play going? And then sort of they pick up speed and then they take it from there?
I'm trying to think about kids other than these two. These two are natural improvisers, but I've definitely played with kids who are not, and they like to do things in a specific order, and they have a little bit more of a process to play. I was just volunteering in his preschool class, and the kids there are really different, and you don't know how kids want to play, but if you get it started, you can see how they respond, and so it's like if they don't like the way that you're playing, then you change the way that you're playing. And maybe you do add more instructions or direction. But that's also play. As a parent, that's play because you're learning about another kid and you're improvising. Sure.
Snack time? Snack break?
Snack time. I see my job as figuring that out. Do they need me to do a little bit more?
Yeah.
Or are they able to lead and direct how we play?
Earlier, I was talking a lot about improvising with kids and how the rules of improv of like agreement and adding on to are really important for playing with kids. And then you talked about if you're having fun, the kids are having fun. So do you bring in things that you enjoy, your own hobbies or your own interests?
We have a couple of skateboards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a bunch of scooters, which is all things that I love to do. Calvin really likes these board games, which I don't like, but he loves. Because I know he likes to play that way, then I will play with him that way.
The good thing about board games is parents can play them with their kids and there is already an agreed upon set of rules.
Yeah, and I don't have enough energy to make up rules and improv all day. Sometimes at the end of the day, often board games, we'll play board games and I don't have to think so much because there's already rules, it's set. You're just kind of moving through it, and that's really nice.
Do you ever feel like once the kids are up and going, you don't have to worry about getting it going?
That's my goal, like, yeah. Get it going, and then they can play with each other once it's up and going, and then they don't need me as much. At Casper's preschool, they talk a lot about that. We're actually the parents and the teachers, you should be like minimally involved.
Oh,
you're really there just to facilitate getting kids started, and then they find their own interest and passion, and then they learn how to play together with each other rather than a facilitator or a parent.
So do you think it's important that kids are able to play on their own without their parents?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, hang on. We have you guys chewing into the microphone. I can fix so many audio problems, but I cannot fix chewing. I cannot.
Cut.
Okay, so we just finished snack time. I think we were talking about parent. Thank you for finding a loose rattling jar of Tic Tacs.
Okay. Yeah. We just finished crunching up wrappers in the microphone.
Yeah.
And now we have Tic Tac box. Is this a silly podcast or a serious
podcast? It's a silly podcast. Yeah. Is it a goal for a parent for playing with your kids so that way the kids take over on their own?
I think so.
And do it independently?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's important for a kid to learn how to play by themselves or play with other kids.
These are spicy Tic Tacs.
Yeah, I don't think the parents' role is to play with the kid. I think it's to show them how to play so then they can independently play with other kids and organize play. And I mean, I think parents definitely need to be involved, but it's not their primary job.
They're only this spicy?
Right. It's a little spicy.
This high? Okay. Or this high and this spicy?
This spice, but what do you mean by high?
Highness of spice.
The high,
Highness of spice.
So it's
an X and a Y.
Oh, okay.
Spicy level and then the height of the spice.
That's a good way to describe flavors.
Also, I think the other part of play is you don't want to be too reliant on the toy to be the fun thing. Because I think a creative kid can make anything a toy, and that's more important than like having a toy that is perfect.
So playing with your kid is a catalyst to getting them to play on their own. And toys are a catalyst to get kids to play with anything, not just
The toy's not the final destination. Like a good toy will inspire creativity rather than be the result of creativity, like Legos.
But some toys can grow as they grow, right? Like you said, those more open-ended building toys. We got a 4-year-old here and a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
So are there some toys that they've had since early days that they still like playing with?
Duplos, Magnetiles.
Magnetiles, yeah.
The Brio train sets.
Yeah. So when you first introduce a new toy to play with, do you sort of have to guide the playing with it? Like when you first got these glow-in-the-dark building sticks, Did you have to follow the instructions that came with it?
Yeah, we follow instructions first, right, Calvin? Yeah, we don't just rip it open. We like it. We like instructions.
One of the things about playing improv with your kid is it's based on yes and. Mm-hmm. But obviously you can't say yes to everything your kid wants to do. So what do you do as far as setting limits on that? So it's not going to be like, here's a bear. Yes, and I'm throwing that bear through the window. Yes, and I'm going to eat all this candy right now.
Yeah, that's a good one. Sometimes it'll just be a no. That's not the way that we play.
I've seen you be really good at setting boundaries while maintaining the game going.
A fun attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think play is a way to explore, and so it's okay to throw a bear, but it's, you know, you're not just gonna say no. We don't throw bears.
Yeah.
But you'll turn into a game like, whoa, bears can't jump that far. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a bear jump like that. And
bears cannot
it becomes
play.
Part of the play.
Yeah.
And you redirect it.
Daddy, get my
I think it's downstairs. Do you want to take a look?
Yes, and just get it.
Yeah, but here's a question. How do you deal with high stress situations playing with your kids?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You mean like when play is stressful?
Over.
Yeah. For kids, when they're playing, when they're you know, doing a thing like that, is their whole world right there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, if what's missing right now, Casper? The unicorn?
The unicorn.
Yeah, that's not just some silly little thing. That is the.
Yeah.
That's like if you didn't have your car keys and you were out somewhere and you're like, oh shoot, where's my wallet and car keys?
I try to remember that exact thing, whereas play can be real for them, and so it's an opportunity to actually treat it real and address it like it's real.
Yeah.
Because it's not real. So it's practice. And so de-escalating, helping, I don't know, reframe what's happening so it's not such a big deal. Or when this toy broke earlier, just saying about, the good thing is we can fix it. Let's fix it right now. Same things you would deal with anybody in stress, you know, try to change the tone.
That's significant because I think when people talk about play, they think, oh, it's fun and games, but sad, feeling sad or confronting feeling sad, disappointment, frustration, that's a real part of play too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's practice. Mm-hmm. For when that stuff happens in the real world.
Even just trying to set up this shoot here, I got really frustrated because one of the mics wasn't working. And I was like, it's hard to process frustration. But in play, that's what
kids
are doing.
It's a place to do it and a place to practice it so that when it hits you in real life, you're more prepared.
Yeah.
It's a safe place, you know, where you can explore different ways to treat that anger or sadness or whatever's happening.
Is your solution when something goes wrong, like to step in there and try to fix it right away?
I mean, it's the same as the play. Like you want the kids, I want my kids to figure out how to address it on their own. So and this is what they teach at Casper School too, is you're there when it's, you know, when it's necessary. But the goal is to help them figure out how to process on their own. You do like as little as necessary.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, this crisis with the unicorn, I noticed that a lot teaching Lego classes is kids would be like, well, what is the next step? I'm trying to build a bridge and it's not working. They get frustrated and like, adult, come in here and give me the solution.
Yeah.
And you wanna be like, I can help you, but what would you do? And there's a real fear of like, oh, the instructions aren't working out, so.
Yeah.
Call in the cavalry.
So at this point, it's starting to feel like an intervention is necessary.
It sounds like one.
It's starting to build up. It's right at the edge. So then at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, Casper. Okay. What do you need, buddy? Oh, untie the knot. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is something where like a kid just can, this is not possible for a kid because somebody else tied this knot up. Oh, I will, buddy. I will. I'm right here. Oh, next to you, I would love to. I'd love to be right here.
Things got real. Play is dealing with disappointment and frustration because kids have so many emotions. Do you think play is where they face a lot of hardships?
One of my closest friends says play is the work of children. So in the where we work out our creativity and social, organizational, friendship stuff at work, kids do that in play because they don't have jobs. So everything they're learning, social, emotional skills, happen in play. So we should take it seriously to teach them the skills that they need to navigate the world. It's more than just like having fun, like you said, because there's sadness mm-hmm. like this. You know, yeah. he's playing, but he's sad, and how do you... Say that again. That's the only one. I think what's happening now is he's playing, but he's actually asking for attention.
Oh, okay.
So he's not doesn't need me to play. He's just asking for like parental attention.
Maybe just to wrap up the whole thing of parents wanting to play with their kids, is it a brief time where kids will want to play with your parent or...
That's what I hear. That's what everybody says. Oh. They say, hey, this doesn't last forever, where they want to play with you and they want your time and energy in this way. So I take that seriously too.
But do you think later on in life, like they'll want to play, you know, when they're teenagers, they'll want to play video games with you?
I don't know. I get that feeling. And I think that that'll probably be something we share when they're teenagers. Yeah, we'll play video games together. My dad played a little bit of video games with me, but it wasn't very serious. So I imagine if I'm serious and we're like actually competing, I think that's a really great way to connect.
Well, let's review. Let's talk about story cards because it's improv, but it also gives you some rules for improv. So what story cards are, so they're cards like this on the back or on the fronts of them. There are different kinds of pictures. There's no words, just pictures. And there's sort of like a little scenario going on in there. There is a noun doing a verb in most of these. Leaves blowing in the wind. A little girl, and she looks curious, and there are some monkeys, and they also like looks like they're either giving her advice or something. You have a deck of these, and you pull them out, and do you ask the kid, all right, what do you see here, and what's the first part of our story? Calvin, do you want to play story cards?
Yeah, you could do three. You could do beginning, middle, and end. So beginning in the middle where the action happens, in the end, how does it conclude? Yeah. That's an easy one. Or more advanced, you could do seven cards. So you have to follow a narrative through like a couple of different scenes, and there's more opportunity for like more characters then. And
here's our first starting character scenario, and then how do these two
rising
things relate
action.
To each other? Yeah. And then, oh, now we got to incorporate all this in there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's rules for stories. Stories is how we understand each other and ourselves. And learning the format and the rules of that is really helpful. And this is a way to practice it. It's super improvisational.
So like with this one, we've got a girl. So once upon a time, this girl, we'll name her. What should we name this girl?
Collie.
Collie had made a hat. And with the help of her bird friends, who were bringing flowers and putting them on her hat. That's our start for a story. This next card we drew out, it's got a lot of flowers, but then there's also, what's right there?
What do you notice?
Eyeball.
There's an eyeball? So there's an eyeball right in the middle of this big field of flowers. What could we say? Collie was making her hat full of flowers, but maybe watching her from the bushes was...
Oh, I was gonna say.
Oh, well, yeah.
She made her hat of flowers. And then one bird snuck in.
No, that's her
and
hat
was
right
living
there.
And living in her hat. So you could go either way, you know? Somebody was watching her from the bushes, or actually watching the bushes goes better with this.
Hey, we're not judging.
But
we're not judging.
I don't know.
But then our third car here, we have a boat, like a red rowboat in the water. There's a crocodile watching from it. And then there's a splash. There's a crocodile back there, and there's a splash here. And what do you think that splash means if it's right next to the boat?
Rain?
Yeah, maybe there's some rain. Just one spot of rain hit right next to the boat. Collie is making her hat, and then a bird got stuck in her hat. And then what could this third one be? Where could our story go?
Maybe she riding on the boat too fast. Her flowers fell out of her hair.
So Collie fell off the boat in this card? Because her hat had too many flowers and the boat was going too fast?
And it was sinking. And it was too much weight.
Too much weight. There we go. We got a story going. They're geniusly simple. And then, of course, there's a hole.
Sure, make it stop talking.
What?
Make it stop talking.
You want a podcast host to stop talking?
I made you stop talking.
Oh, is that your wand?
Oh, boy. Don't make sounds either, both of you. Get that. You both can make sounds and talk.
Oh, okay. All right. We're back.
I was not sure how
Hey, wait a second.
Talk. Now we'll finish up with asking the 10 question review of toys. Oh, and we're going to do this without talking.
Question one. I'll break the spell. Okay. Zippity zappity zoop. You can talk.
Yeah, they're really easy to learn. Yeah. I think there's barely a column of instructions on here, which basically say, pull out a card and make up a story.
Three cards or seven cards. Yeah, make up a story. Either you make it up or the kid makes it up, or you can do it together, alternate. Yeah, that's it.
Could also use the story cards in other ways. Like you play for 5 minutes, pull out a story card. All right, now this is the next thing that happens. Question number two, can it be used in more ways than just the instructions say?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because there's not many instructions. Question number three, is it long lasting and durable? Well, how old would you say these are?
Oh, like the cards, like how they're made?
Yeah, yeah, physically.
Oh, physically?
How old these hold up.
They're better than normal cards. Yeah.
They feel thicker than playing cards. I mean, this one has a bend in it. I mean, but even if it bends, what does it matter? Number four, can it be used with other toys?
I don't know. You could use it to inspire building things. Like you could build part of the story.
You could build a house of cards.
You could build a house of cards. Oh, that's a good idea. I'd say these are like less combiney than other toys.
Right. Yeah. About. Would you use these for like telling a bedtime story?
You know, at bedtime, everybody's tired. You know, sometimes when I'm reading a story, I don't even know what's happening. I just make the sounds on the page and I'm just, although I do, I have heard some parents do that.
Question number five, is it messy?
Yeah, they can spread out. You know, there's like 60 cards there.
But easy to clean up.
Easy to clean up.
Yeah. Is it expensive?
I think it was like $12, $13.
Not expensive. And a lot you can do with them. Number seven, will it grow with age and development?
Yeah, I think it can. I think in the same way that my stories are further developed than their stories, you could continue to practice this. And because there's so many combinations, there's so many cards, you know, you're never going to tell the same story. You're always going to get a different set.
Could that be a problem where they say like, tell that story where the alligator tell the,
what
the
was the one,
hat.
The flower hat one?
Number eight, is it trendy?
I would guess not, because stories are so important to us. And they're also, it's not that accessible. It's like, it is a challenge as a parent to improv a real story and stuff. There is some level of comfort with being able to do that on the fly. Because if you just describe what's happening in the picture, it's not going to make sense.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be a satisfying story.
It gives you a little bit of a guide, but you need to have a little bit of a storytelling engine going in with it.
I think so. But then again, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it is just fun to describe what's in the card and that's enough for the kid to enjoy it.
Or ask the kid, what do you see going on?
Yeah.
Question nine, is it a kinetic toy or does it require a lot of mobility?
No, these are not. Yeah. You could do these in the car where you're not really moving. Mm-hmm. This is a seated mental exercise.
And then number 10, is it teaching something? And does it teach it well?
Oh, I think so. There's a lot of creativity because you're looking at a picture and having to draw some conclusions. Like in the one we talked about with the splash, Casper thought it was rain.
Yeah.
And then he sort of evolved and said, well, it looks like you said somebody's falling off the boat. It's sparking imagination because not everything is contained in the image that is needed for a story. And I think the practice of storytelling is a skill that is so helpful that they should use their whole life. That I use every day at work, storytelling. And it's something that like people aren't necessarily good at. At least communicate, there is a story happening.
There's a whole book of stories.
Read the speech.
Okay, we'll
do it. All right, well, that's our 10 questions. So Xander, thank you so much for being on the show. Calvin, thank you for being on the show too.
Thanks for being on the show.
Should we play now? Now that we're all done, we can play?
Yeah. Play what?
Whatever you want to play. What should we play? Oh, no. What's the first step?
Oh, no. First step is you just start.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching listening. This has been the Untangling Toys podcast. I'm Sam Saxeri. If you would like to follow our show on any social media channels, it's all at Untangling Toys. And then if you would like to contact us with any questions or suggestions about toys or play or anything, you can email us at untanglingtoys@gmail.com. You can help our show keep going by liking and subscribing and rating us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, bye-bye. Untangling Toys is a Clamor Audio production distributed by the Cloud 10 Network. Hosted and executive produced by me, Sam Saxeri. Executive produced by Aaron Hilliard. Clamor General Manager Rich Statter. Associate Producer Ethan Aronson. Post-production supervised by Devin Ruskin. Production Assistant Samara Mullick. And special thanks to Sim Sarna and Saiba Krieger at Cloud 10.